I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
From PRX's Radiotopia, welcome to the heart I'm your host, Caitlin Prest, and this is Bodies, a mini-season about resistance. This is the last episode of the mini-season. Before the episode, we have the final installment of the saga of the hair. Here's Mitra.
I've been telling you little stories about what is the biggest conflict I have about my body. I'm obsessed with my body hair. Over the years, I've experimented with how far I can push my comfort levels. Most recently, growing out my armpit hair. I like it, but not all of the time. Sometimes I get embarrassed. Sometimes I catch people glancing at it, maybe because it's too dark, too unruly, or just because it's there at all. I've had employers say, "I don't really care or anything, but like for the customers." Or students of mine ask why on earth I would do this. Over the winters, when my body is cloaked behind layers of clothes, I convince myself that I've made peace with it. Then, as the snow thaws, again, I'm faced with myself, my true self. The self that was picked on as a kid, or mistaken for a boy. The self that remembers a girl in the seventh grade grabbing my arm as I was putting my hair in a ponytail, saying, "Jesus, Mitra, you could have at least shaved your armpits." I had shaved, in fact, earlier that day. The self that would spend hours looking at my legs, inspecting every single pore, wishing it were thinner and lighter and just not there at all. I envy the Amandas and Ashleys, the Jennifers, who have the luxury of letting it be, claiming it, reveling in it, owning it. For me, my hair is far too grotesque. I've looked for answers, often wondering if there's something medically wrong, but no, there's not. I'm straight up an adult now, and I know that it's not really a big deal, and this is something I don't really have any control over. But I don't think I will ever truly feel free until it's all gone. But that's the thing. It will never be all gone. Some will fall with age, while more will grow. It will always find a way. I can torture my body with whatever means I want. Wax, thread, pluck, nair, bleach, epilator, laser, electrolysis, shaving. But it's always going to come back. And if that's the case, I wonder why I spend so much time hating myself for it. That's all for me and my hair. Thanks for listening. This is the final episode of our Bodies mini-season, and we're talking to Maria Palacios. She's a poet and an activist. In this piece, you're going to hear some of her poetry. The last time I was visiting my folks in Texas, I rented a car and I drove to Houston for a couple days to spend some time with her. She lives in a house that is really quite similar to my parents' house. Spacious one-floor home, grassy front lawn, backyard. On my second day there, she made us a lunch of stewed chicken with rice, refried beans, and guacamole. When I walked in that day, the house smelled of warm onions and stewed tomatoes.
My sons were little, especially Michael, the other one. He loved this chicken so much that they called it, they baptized it Mama's Famous Chicken.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we eat a lot of chicken, but mainly for me because I know how to cook it. You know, I'm so good at cooking chicken that I'm like, why fuck up, you know?
Maria lives in this house with one of her sons and her four dogs. Nacho is the little Pomeranian that sits in the basket under her wheelchair.
Oh my God, hi, Nacho.
And sometimes you'll hear him shuffling around in the tape. When I first arrived, Maria gave me a tour.
Let me show you the living room. I don't know how much light there is, so I have to ask him to turn it on.
Oh, that's okay. I don't really need light.
But the ramp here is broken, so I cannot come down with you.
I see.
But this living room is cool. It has a lot of history in it because I've had poetry readings here. I've had massive parties and where I would use the space right here as the stage, you know? So
over the course of a few afternoons, Maria and I talked about her poetry and her body.
Okay, so let's just talk about breasts.
Okay.
So start from the beginning.
I started praying for you when I was 8 years old. Praying for you to blossom into that sign of womanhood, the presence of a reality willing to speak new truths, the verifiable proof of my own normality. I think that I just always, for some reason, found them beautiful. And I realized that it's something that women are expected to have, which, you know, I like talking about breasts and specifically mine because I wished for them so much that I used to pray lying down on the bed and I used to hold my shirt like where breasts would be and just pull it and ask, grow. Lord, please, I promise you that if you give me big, beautiful breasts, I will always play with them. As if that would be like, oh yeah, I'm going to make your wish come true. But it happened. So I was born in Ecuador, and when I was 9 months old, I had polio. My mom had spent my entire childhood looking for a cure for polio, looking for a way to make me walk, looking for a miracle that she thought she would find finally in Houston, Texas. I cannot remember a time when I did not know that this was permanent. I was 4 years old, and the memory of her rubbing avocados on my legs because she had heard that the avocados have super vitamins and they're super healing and blah, blah. But deep down, I knew. Back when my mother rubbed avocados on my legs, spreading its green softness over the immobile memories left behind by polio. She chose the ripe ones, the ones with the life experience necessary to easily venture into a different form. Into the magic paste I wore as I sat in a sunny spot for half an hour every morning. The interesting thing is that I used to have a relationship with my legs that was one of love and hate. And now looking back, I think that it was having to do with the fact that my legs look different. My right leg has movement, and therefore I looked at my right leg as the pretty one, as the able-bodied leg, you know, the one that I could imagine myself modeling a high-heeled shoe. I remember sitting on my bed after the avocado treatment and looking at my naked legs and pouring love over my right leg and anger and hatred towards my left leg. And then immediately feeling like, how could I? You know, I want to love you. I do love you. I was 11 and I was in that hospital in Brazil.
Girl.
And one day I woke up with my left nipple swollen. Just that left one, but it really swollen, like only that one. And I freaked out. I thought, oh my God, I'm only gonna grow one tit. I didn't know who to ask. I was like really freaked out. And then of course my mom, you know, she came to visit me and I ended up telling her because I was so scared that I didn't know who else to tell. And she didn't talk to me. Instead, she called the doctor. And the doctor just simply looked at me. And he said, oh, she is becoming a woman. I was like, wow. Shortly after that incident, I got a back surgery. And every time that I had a back surgery, I was in a cast for like a long time. I'll never forget when the cast came off. They put me in a chair, like a little stool right in front of the refrigerator. And everybody was there, my mom, my grandmother, my uncles, you know, the adults. They were like trying to figure out how to remove this cast. And I just remember feeling like all of a sudden very vulnerable, you know, but at the same time excited because I was ready to scratch myself like a maniac. And so the cast came off, and I remember as soon as it started detaching from my body, I felt like another skin was coming off. It felt so weird. I felt so light. I felt like I could like just be tipped over, you know. So the cast comes off, and all of a sudden I look down, and I'm like, wow, I have breasts. And I just remember covering myself kind of like naturally. I didn't want my uncles looking, and all of a sudden I started acting like I'm a woman, you know. I felt like I'm complete now. Shortly after that, we traveled to Mexico. And in Mexico, my mom bought me my first bra. And that was like the most awesome experience of my life. It was this cotton bra with thick straps. And it fits so perfectly. And even though my boobs were small, they probably were a C-cup or something, but they felt huge. I wanted to like go shirtless just so that I could people could see, yeah, I have a bra. I have real boobs that can accommodate a real bra.
That's funny that you said a C-cup is small.
Sorry. I ended up with triple Ds at some point in my life, so.
I was like, wow, great.
11 years old with a C-cup. I'm like, yeah.
Do you remember how that bra like felt on your body?
It felt like womanly. To me, it was like all my fantasies were coming true. To me, it felt like normality. By the time I turned 12, my nipples had blossomed into dreams of tomorrow with the promise of womanhood. I embraced my sexuality very early in my youth. In part, I guess, because it was the one aspect of myself I felt I could control. Doing so was my rebellion against an able-bodied world. I think that for me personally, because I'm a disabled woman, and because I grew up with a disability and I grew up being told that my body is non-normative, I associated the development of breasts with my woman signature. However, especially now that I am older, my breasts are my personal woman signature, but that doesn't have to be the same for every woman. Not every woman has big breasts, for example, and not every woman will have breasts. I mean, for whatever reason.
So you've had children,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm just wondering how your relationship to your body and your breasts have changed since you've had children, and, you know, your body is always changing as we get older and things like that.
I almost feel like a horrible mother saying this, but I have to be honest with you, okay? I breastfed my first son because I felt that that was the thing that I had to do, but I did not like it, okay? To me, it felt like oppressive. And that sounds horrible because almost every woman you hear is like, oh, that's the bonding between mother and child. Breastfeeding is like the most amazing experience. And to me, I was like, no, dude, you're heavy and my shoulders hurt and my nipple hurts. And I did not enjoy breastfeeding at all. Okay. I just could not wait until they got off my tit. I felt like my breasts are more like for sexual purposes. Okay. That's what I wanted them for.
A cleavage to die for. I first got it back when 30 was old and 40 was ancient. Back when youth felt eternal, promising fertility, the fertility of love, tender blossoms of womanhood, opening themselves to life, feeling like spring could never end. Yes, breasts are amazing, but mine were magical. They were the personification of woman, as my soul struggled to be recognized while inhabiting this otherwise strange physical arrangement of love. I think that life happens. Me getting older, I'm loving every aspect of it. Even the stretch marks. My breasts now have stretch marks. I talk about loving my breasts and loving them so much and thanking them for having existed, thanking them for having been part of my womanhood and my life, and knowing that they're not going to last forever. So those are all realities in the back of my head about losing that aspect of who I am. And even though I don't want to, I find myself prepared to age gracefully as far as my womanhood, to accept, continue accepting my body as it comes, you know? Never, I used to say, never will I show the deep scar on my back. Never will I share my thighs, my narrow hips, my curved spine, the ragged edges of me. This body, I thought, couldn't speak love, but it does. My body speaks love fluently, although it first learned to do it in the language of able-bodied lovers. Sometimes, living a lie to do it, hiding under the covers to conceal the scars, or faking shyness, disguising my crib side as much as I could, using the magic of breasts to distract my lover's hands. Yes, my breasts have always been my magic aces, taking lovers' places far away from my legs.
You just heard Maria R. Palacios.
I was thinking I was a little bit embarrassed having you over. Because because my house looks like shit.
Oh, but you know what? Does it really?
It's okay. It is not what it looked 10 years ago when I actually had parties and everything was painted and the holes in the walls. You know, and then I started realizing that this house is right now symptomatic of many, many, many other things that are happening in my life. The things that I cannot control tend to manifest themselves in the holes in the walls, the unpainted walls, the dead garden, the broken tile, whatever. The things that I cannot control seem to be kind of like speaking to me through this fucking house, right? Saying, fucking fix me now, you know?
Yeah.
So... So yeah, I need to like remember that there are always going to be things that we cannot control in our lives, and being a control freak and realizing that is not very fun.
Yeah, totally. You know?
Yeah.
If anybody's curious, throughout Hurricane Harvey, we checked in on Maria and her family, and everyone is safe and dry. If you want to find out more about Maria, you should totally go to her website, goddessonwheels.com. Maria has so many books of poetry that you can buy. So many. They're smutty and amazing and will make you feel inspired, sexy, and joyful. All of her books are on Amazon, so it's that easy. We'll have links on our website and more. This episode was produced with help from Julia Alsop and Phoebe Wang, editorial support by Kelsey Padgett, editorial advising by Molly Osberg on this episode and the whole Body season. Body's Beats at the beginning were produced by the amazing, our favorite, Alan Watts. The Saga of the Hare is written, voiced, and produced by the one and the only Mitra Gaboli.
Do, do, do.
Big thanks to Maria and her family for opening her home and her heart to us. This is the last episode of the Body's mini-season, and it's the last mini-season for a bit. But never fear, we're going to have lots of really amazing, singular, special, on their own stories to finish off the year, including Phoebe Wang's inaugural radio piece, which I am so excited to share with you guys. And we're going to feature some incredible shows that we found that we really want you to know about. So stay tuned. If you miss us in between episodes, follow us on Instagram We post all of our crazy audio-related shenanigans on Instagram, so you should follow at The Heart Radio. It's amazing. If you want to look at tiny illustrations of the things that I do in my daily life, you can follow me at Caitlin Prest. One thing before we go and before we end the Bodies mini-season, I want to tell you about a new show that's being developed right now that just so happens to have the same name as our mini-season. Also just so happens to be made by my friend, Allison Berenger. It's a podcast called Bodies. It's totally different from what we've done here. It's its own unique thing, and it's about exploring the mysteries of our bodies. Each episode revolves around a body mystery that gets solved over the course of the episode. It's coming out early next year as part of KCRW's independent producer project, and it's going to be fucking amazing. If you want to stay up to date on her stuff and get the first episode directly delivered to your phone, go to bodiespodcast.com to learn more. We'll have a link to that on our website as well. Our website is theheartradio.org, if you didn't know. The Heart is me, Caitlin Prest, Mitra Gaboli, Phoebe Wang, Jen Ng, and Sharon Mashihi. Thanks, as always, to AdZerk, the Knight Foundation, and Radiotopia. Bye.
Radiotopia.